Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and as always, great to be in studio. Do remember, all this month we have a special offer for those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. My brand new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, now available not only in hardback, but also in audio. So you can get an audio version of Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. You can check that out on the web at equip.org, or certainly talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, the letter is CRI, or, And do remember, if you want to call in your questions on the broadcast, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Behind the facade, does Islam offer peace, or does it signal genuine peril? I think that's the epic question of the day. And for all the debate over Islam and its growing presence worldwide, one thing is often overlooked. Islam is not a religion in the sanitized Western sense. It is an all-encompassing socio-political, legal matrix that breeds a worldview antagonistic to anything but itself. And while there are millions of peaceful and tolerant Muslims, many are neighbors. Islam is hardly tolerant. The current political climate denigrates this truth. I think it's tantamount to radicalizing Muslims and exacerbating hostilities that may otherwise lie dormant. As such, a common refrain has reverberated throughout the West: Islam is not our enemy. And as well-intentioned as this mantra might be, it is a naive and dangerous narrative, particularly considering Islam's mandate for world domination. So in my book, I provide you, the reader, with a memorable framework helpful for making sense of contemporary Islam and for confronting falsehood with the truth of the gospel. Again, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. It is the fruit of three years of primary research, available for those who support the ministry all this month. The number to dial to get your questions answered live on the broadcast today, 888-ASK-HANK. I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast the passing of Hugh Hefner. Of course, Hugh Hefner was the founder of Playboy. He died at age 91. And I wanted to say a little more about Hugh Hefner in that as I was reading the newspapers this morning, I saw that the media continues to extol his legacy. I think about Pamela Anderson, who said, "Outside of my family, Hef, you were the most important person in my life." Or Larry King, who remembered Hefner as a giant in publishing, journalism, free speech, and civil rights. Dennis Rodman said he's the icon of icons. He was a game changer. Norman Lear declared Hefner a true explorer, a man who had a keen sense of the future. Kim Kardashian weighed in saying, "It was an honor to have been part of Team Playboy. And Bruce Kluger in USA Today writes, "So long, Hef. Thanks for the gig. My girlfriend hated it, but what could be better than writing about the Playmate of the Month?" Not all reviews, however, were positive. David French wrote an incredible article that underscores the bitter fruit of Hefner's life's work, the bitter fruit that helped poison American families. In National Review, the article was titled "Hugh Hefner's Legacy of Despair." And while I will not read the entirety of the article, I do want to refer to some of what David French correctly wrote. French says that Hugh Hefner didn't invent pornography. Hefner, however, played his part, and the part he played was immensely destructive to our nation's cultural, moral, and spiritual fabric. Hefner mainstreamed pornography. He put it in millions and millions of homes. He glamorized it. He recast one of America's most pathetic industries as the playground of the sophisticated rich. He then grew to a ripe old age, all the while consorting with women young enough to be his granddaughters. He was America's most famous dirty old man. And now, says French, he's dead. It's hard to calculate the damage he did while he lived. But the cultural rubble is all around us. My generation is perhaps the first to grow up with easily accessible porn. And the effects have lasted a lifetime. Boys grew up believing that they were entitled to sex on demand and that sex would always, be amazing. They learned that monogamy was confining, promiscuity was liberating, and that women should always be hot. How many families have broken to pieces when a wife discovers her husband's secret addiction and then realizes that she's not enough, that she's never been enough? How many men have grown to hate themselves for their psychological dependence on the saddest of habits? The testimonies from Porn Nation are devastating indeed. To see men become addicted to pornography is to watch character formation in reverse. They lie habitually to cover the extent of their habit, even when their wives are allegedly open and sexually liberated. The screen, however, is never enough. The wife is never enough. And so the addict so often seeks prostitutes or mistresses or perhaps both. Another family breaks. More lives fall into despair. And yet the secular, progressive guardians of our public morality, you know, the people who think you're a horrible person if you don't recycle or if you're using the wrong pronouns, all too often don't just tolerate but celebrate the sexual liberation that is part and parcel of Porn Nation. So many A-list celebrities spent time at the Playboy Mansion. Our president has. The evidence is on his office wall. French concludes his article by saying, "When I think of Hugh Hefner, yes, I mourn. but I mourn because the bitter fruit of his life's work has helped poison the families of people I know and love. He is gone. But his legacy lives on, and his is a legacy of despair. One of the consequences of autonomy on the part of humanity, where we rationalize God of existence, is that we sacrifice truth on the altar of subjectivism. Ethics and morals are no longer determined on the basis of objective standards, but rather by the size and strength of the latest lobby group. And as a result, we have no enduring reference points. And thus, societal norms are now in the present reduced to matters of preferences. Obviously, one of the most devastating consequences of the repackaging of Satan's age-old deception is the sexual revolution. I was talking to Mary Eberstadt on a Hank Unplugged, you can find that on the web at equip.org, about the sexual revolution. It lies at the root of many of the ills that we are facing in society today. Its bitter fruit is toxic and poisonous. Unfortunately, even in the pulpit, America has capitulated. But certainly in the secular community, I once heard that noted evolutionist Sir Julian Huxley, when asked why people so quickly embraced the theory of evolution, had a quip which is quite memorable. He said, "It is because the concept of a creator God interferes with our sexual mores. And as a result, we have rationalized God out of existence. To us, he became nothing more than the faint and disappearing smile of the cosmic Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland." And I think that response, it's pithy, it's memorable, but it eloquently captures the spirit of the evolutionary paradigm. Because once you take God and you relegate God to the status of a Disney character, what you have in return is freedom from all constraints, the ability to make up your own rules. Hugh Hefner glorified sex in the media. It's been glorified as well in movies and through music. It's glorified by Madison Avenue. Not in the way it was intended to be glorified. One of the greatest gifts that God has ever given to humanity has been perverted. Today, we only have one rule, and that is life has no rules. It's all a part of attempting to rationalize God out of existence in order to do away with his laws of morality, which is as absurd as voting to repeal the law of gravity because people have fallen off buildings or bridges or boats. Obviously, even a unanimous vote cannot change the deadly consequences for someone who later attempts to jump off of a 10-story building. My point here is simply to say that we cannot violate God's physical or moral laws without suffering, disillusionment, destruction, and even in death, there is a consequence. We're coming up to a station break. On the other side of the break, I'll be taking your calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Again, 888-275-4265. We'll go to your calls again when we come back from the break. Later on in the broadcast, we've got an incredible quote of the day from Blaise Pascal, one you may not have heard in full. So we'll see in just a few moments.
Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. The current narrative is that to tell the truth in this regard is tantamount to radicalizing Muslims and exacerbating hostilities that may otherwise lie dormant. A common refrain has reverberated throughout the West: Islam is not our enemy. As well-intentioned as this mantra may be, the danger in this stance becomes clear once someone understands Islam in full. Read the new book by Hank Hanegraaff, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. For most Americans, pronouncements from our public officials that Islam is a religion of peace are impossible to reconcile with daily headlines and jarring photos of global Islamic jihadist atrocities. To help you understand the real Islam, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you his new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and other life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we do need many of you to consider prayerfully before the Lord joining CRI's monthly support team. When you do, be pleased to personalize a copy of Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, to you, to a family member, or to a friend. You can check this out on the web at equip.org. Let's go to the phone lines. Talk to George. He's listening in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, George.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I found out recently that you decided to convert to the Eastern Orthodox faith. Is that right?
That is correct.
You mind me asking why you chose the Eastern Orthodox faith over say, Roman Catholicism or the previous faith that you were following?
Well, there are a lot of reasons why I could not be Roman Catholic, although Roman Catholic and the stepchildren of Roman Catholic Protestants, I have great respect for those who hold to the essentials of the historic Christian faith. I'm a champion of mere Christianity, not original with C.S. Lewis, but certainly he wrote a book titled Mere Christianity. But the basic essence of it is that in essentials we must have unity, in non-essentials liberty, and all things charity. But there are a lot of things within Roman Catholicism, such as the Pope being able to speak ex cathedra or from the chair. And as a result, you have new dogma, you know, the Immaculate Conception. There are many different things, purgatory, limbo, many things within Roman Catholicism that would be very difficult for me to embrace. I've often said that the Roman Catholic Church is a true church, but I think it has significant errors. So that's the reason. As far as Protestant denominations, and I think there may be as many as 20 to 30,000 permutations, I was growing, quite frankly, increasingly disillusioned with a lot of the stuff happening. Certainly within liberal Protestant denominations, where they demythologize the Bible, but also within evangelicalism, with this portent for being prophecy pundits, constantly predicting the time of a pre-tribulational rapture and getting it wrong every time 100% of the time. Or new waves through Protestantism and evangelicalism where suddenly we're being told that we no longer have to confess our sins. In fact, to confess our sins is tantamount to spitting in the eye of God. He's already forgiven us. Why in the world would you have to confess your sin? These kinds of waves and winds of doctrines were becoming more and more disturbing to me. And that does not in any way delegitimize the different expressions of Protestantism. It is simply that I was growing increasingly frustrated with it. As a result of that, I began to explore Eastern Orthodoxy, which I knew about intellectually and had experienced all over the world. I'd experienced it in the West Bank or in the Ukraine or in Moscow. However, there has always been a language barrier for me, and so I simply Googled a church nearby our office, and I went one Sunday morning, and I was quite frankly blown away by the experience I had there, including the experience of the priests being very familiar with our ministry, and saying some wonderful things about our ministry, and then meeting people in the fellowship hall that had come to faith in Christ as a result of listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So I had a great experience, and I went back a couple of times, and then I went back some more, and I started becoming more and more convicted, and this is quite a few years ago, I became more and more convicted that the church must have been right for most of its history. I mean, up until the time of Zwingli, all Christians really believed in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, or in communion, or on the Lord's table, whatever moniker you want to use for that. And as I studied church history, and this took me 3 years, I became utterly convinced of the real presence of Christ. I was obviously very, very impressed by the early church fathers, but even by Luther, who in a colloquy, in a debate with Zwingli, when Zwingli was accusing him of bread worship, said if there was one thing he wished he could disagree with the papists on, it would be this, but he could not. This was the unanimous testimony of the church from the very beginning, from the scriptures on through to the time of the Reformation. And so Zwingli then asked him, well, how can Christ really be present in the elements? And Luther did not give a typical Western snarling logicality type answer. Rather, he said, if you can explain to me how Christ can be one person with two natures, I'll explain to you how Christ can really be present in the Eucharist. It's a mystery. But suffice it to say, I became absolutely convinced of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and that is not to say that I would separate from brothers and sisters in the Lord that disagree with me on this point, but this is a very, very significant point for me, and I will tell you that as I have contracted cancer, this has been one of the things that has sustained me week in, week out. But maybe on a more global basis, I would say that I am so excited about being part of a spiritual gymnasium. If I lift weights, if I do curls, I'm sort of imitating that right now. I'm really not doing that. But if I did it on a regular basis, I would have big biceps. And the same thing is true when you're in the spiritual gymnasium, when you're partaking of the graces whereby we can become through grace, what God is by nature. That does not mean that we can become ineffable. It does not mean that we can become God is in his essence, but we can experience the energies of God. And as I said, that is what has sustained me in my journey through cancer this year. So I have been very grateful that the Lord has led me in this direction, but ultimately I want to make clear that I'm not a standard bearer, ultimately, for Catholicism or Eastern Orthodoxy or an expression of evangelicalism. I'm a standard bearer for mere Christianity in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. Hope that helps.
It does. Thanks for answering the question. It was very lengthy. I have a lot to absorb right now. The second question I had to ask was, are you planning on becoming either a deacon or a priest in the church?
No, I am planning on continuing on with the mission that God has given me. I believe with all my heart that truth matters and that life matters more, that the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal, and that we should never mistake the cradle for its occupant. So I continue on with the mission that God has given me, and that is, I believe, truth matters, and therefore you have to give answers, reasons for the hope that lie within you with gentleness and with respect. I'm very concerned about biblical literacy as well as historical literacy and countering cults and world religions. But on the other side, I believe life matters more, and in that vein, I am concerned that people understand the answer to Christ's high priestly prayer that we all might be as one. Only one around the essentials of the historic Christian faith, but that we might be not fragmented or fissured, but rather that we might experience fusion, so we don't have the toxic waste fission. Let me go back to the phone lines and talk to Mandu in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Hi. You there, Mandu?
Yes, I'm here.
Your question.
Thank you very much, Hank. I'd like to ask a quick question in regards to the sexual revolution that you just mentioned. How can we reverse that? Is there a way that we can reverse, even for people who have been implicated with so many of these problems? I myself have been addicted. Thank God I'm over with that right now. But is there a way that we can recharge our lives with Christ? In such a way that either on a cultural level or on a personal level, that we can eradicate the effects of sexual problems.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's important for us to go back to a biblical worldview. And if you're already entangled in some of these behaviors and habits, then you have to work through that in the spiritual gymnasium that I was talking about earlier, which is the church. One of the things I try to emphasize over and over again is that we cannot do this on our own. The Christian enterprise is not a lone ranger enterprise. It's always done in community. And by being in the spiritual gymnasium, by using the graces that are available to us there in the ground and pillar of truth, the church, we can involve ourselves in confession, but also in accountability, whereby we can start to embrace our humanity, our anthropology, in the sense in which God designed it, as opposed to in a perverse sense. Now, one of the things in this vein that we have to realize is that God has not put parameters around our lives so that our joy might be curtailed in some way, but rather that our joy might be complete. And there are a number of very, very fantastic resources that we have. You can find them on the web at equip.org. The Game Plan by Joe Dallas, Men's 30-Day Strategy for Attaining Sexual Integrity, is one of those books that I would recommend. But there are other resources on the web in this regard as well. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, this gets back to getting back to basics. I mean, it gets it is a function of not trying to go this journey alone, but finding liberation within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church. I'd love to continue this particular conversation. It's an important one, but we are coming up to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And my gratitude for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. May God richly bless you. We'll be right back with the quote of the day.
For all the debate over Islam and its growing presence in the world, one thing is often overlooked. Islam is not a religion in the sanitized Western sense. It is, in contrast, an all-encompassing socio-political legal matrix that has bred a worldview antagonistic to anything but itself. While there may be millions of peaceful and tolerant Muslims, many of them are neighbors. Islam itself is hardly peaceful and tolerant. Read Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. While legions of the theologically clueless and politically correct fall over themselves in their rush to paint a warmer and kinder picture of Islam, you might well be wondering, what's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff clearly answers the question in his new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive the book, Muslim, as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. If you've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast for any period of time, you know that I love to paraphrase Blaise Pascal. He was a true genius. He was a Christian philosopher, an apologist, a mathematician, a scientist. He was a master of prose. And I often remember the quote by Blaise Pascal, where in effect he's saying, that God dwells in enough darkness so that if you don't want to find him, you won't, and he dwells in enough light so that if you do want to find him, you will. But obviously, Blaise Pascal said it far more eloquently than that, to wit, the quote of the day. Willing to appear openly to those who seek him with all their heart, and to be hidden from those who flee from him with all their heart. God so regulates the knowledge of himself that he has given indications of himself which are visible to those who seek him and not to those who do not seek him. There's enough light for those to see who only desire to see, and enough obscurity for those who have a contrary disposition. Again, Blaise Pascal. He is one of the most quotable Christians, and unfortunately lived for a short period of time. His genius lives on in the present. Let's go back to the phone line and talk to Don in Longview, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Don.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for your ministry and what you do for us. My question is, goes back to Saul and Samuel.
Yes.
And when he encounters the witch of Endora, and does she really bring back Samuel, or does she bring up a demon to communicate with? It's hard to imagine that the witch can go back to heaven and communicate with Saul, or with Samuel, excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting question, because witches and mediums, they traffic in sleight of hand and sleight of mind. And this is precisely what the Witch of Endor did. It's sort of like the Old Testament false prophets, you know, and the admonition, don't listen to them. They give you false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. And this is what the mediums did. They fooled people. They could not do what God could do. They could only parody what God could do. And so in this particular instance, you have Saul not going to the living God, though Saul was called to be the first king of Israel, but rather giving himself over and over again to demonic forces, such that the very spirit within him was quenched. And so here Saul is wanting to inquire about the future. So he does not inquire of the living God. He goes to the Witch of Endor. In fact, he was the agent by which the witches were to have been expelled from the land, and yet he goes to a witch, not to God, but to a witch. Now, the witch cannot bring up Samuel, but God can, and God did. And of course, when God did, the witch was frightened out of her pointy hat, because the miracle was done in spite of her, not because of her. And of course, in 1 Samuel chapter 28, you immediately see that judgment falls, the axe of God's judgment falls on the first king of Israel. It's kind of hard to read the passage, because Samuel speaks, and when he does, he speaks in judgment. The Lord will hand over both Israel and you to the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will join me in death. And so they did. So this is a great, great warning for us today. There are a lot of people that play around with the paranormal, but it's not something to be trifled with. The living God answers questions. And I could tell you, and I won't give you the details, but just yesterday, I prayed a prayer with all my heart, seeking wisdom and knowledge from the Lord. And the Lord plainly gave me an answer. What a great joy that we don't have to go to those who mutter, those who give false prophecies, but to the living God who desires to commune with his people. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Ricky. He's listening in Williamsport, Maryland on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Ricky.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I have two questions. Number one, I follow you on the radio. lately, and in the past, I think you're a great man of God, and you have a lot of good godly teachings. Who do you recommend as far as other teachers out there? Because there's a lot of false doctrine out there. It's kind of on TV and radio. It's kind of hard to find out, to discern truth from error sometimes. But who do you recommend as far as, because I kind of like John MacArthur, is he a good teacher, in your opinion?
Well, he's a very gifted teacher. I mean, I would disagree with him on many, many things, but he is a very gifted teacher. But this underscores what I was saying earlier, in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and all things charity. Now, it's easy to say, it's much harder to do, which means that I think that every Christian needs to become so familiar with the real that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, they know it instantaneously. Well, how do you do that? You start to assimilate essential Christian doctrine. In fact, in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, the last M in the acronym Muslim stands for Major Muslim Misapprehensions. What do I do there? I take the straight stick of essential Christian doctrine, with which I'm very familiar, and I lay that straight stick next to Muslim. And what I find out immediately is that Islam, the religion of Muslims, is very crooked by comparison. So the answer to your question, in short, is become so familiar with the genuine that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. I repeat that again and again, and I hope that gets into people's memory traces. For example, you know you have a counterfeit when someone denies the deity of Jesus Christ. Well, that's exactly what the Muslims do. They say that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God. In fact, to say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is an unforgivable sin. Well, we as Christians say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and of course, by that, we're not talking about sexual procreation, we're talking about special relationship. And so we define our terms, but again, we have to do that in talking to Muslims, and we have to do that when we consider the opinions of others. Now, there are many secondary issues. We can debate those issues vigorously, but we should not divide over them. Iron sharpens iron, and so in the process of communication, it is a wonderful thing that we are drawn together around the essentials rather than further being separated. So I can certainly disagree with teachers on secondary issues, but I want to do that respectfully and recognize that we stand shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth around the essentials of the historic Christian faith.
Okay. One last other quick question. Once you are truly saved, can one lose their salvation, or is something that you can't really lose it no matter what you do, as long as you ask for forgiveness? Or can you, like, go so far as you lose salvation if you're truly saved?
Well, if you are truly saved, what happens? Well, you are then engrafted into a body of believers, what I referred to earlier as the ground and the pillar of truth. Paul talks about that in 1 Timothy 3:15. And within that community of faith, you receive the graces. Those graces allow you to continue on your journey, the sole goal of which is union with God. So I think oftentimes people, when they ask this question, they're thinking about Christianity in a transactional way rather than in a transformational way. Christianity is not about praying a prayer and now you have an insurance card. Christianity is about a walk with the Savior. It's about being co-consummators of the kingdom. It is about being a living stone in the temple of God. And so when you are within this relationship with Christ the head and with his body, you grow in grace. you start to realize that he who started the work in you will complete that work as well. But you can't in some cavalier fashion think that you can do this on your own, or that somehow or other you can receive these graces apart from the body of Christ. You cannot. You have to receive them within the ground and pillar of the truth. I talked earlier about my love for the Eucharist, or Eucharist meaning Thanksgiving meal, the real presence of Christ. This is something very, very significant to me, and every single week after I have received the Eucharist, I look forward to receiving the Eucharist again. But I'm terrified of the real presence of Christ if I don't have relationship with Christ, or if I have not confessed my sins. Because Paul tells us that if you partake of the Lord's table, the mystical supper, in an unworthy manner, you drink, you eat damnation to yourself. And that's why some are sick and some have died, Paul says. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in this regard, but it's a sober warning. That's also a great delight as you realize that you can live by a power that is not of you, but in you. But we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be back on Monday with more. And again, my thanks to everyone that stands shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. Did you know that the Quran and the Hadith are full of commands to subjugate or kill unbelievers, and that Sharia mandates proactive and perpetual war against Jews and Christians? In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of CRI, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you his new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org.